Psalm number 26 is where we begin our worship. Psalm 26. Thank you, Donald. I have made a mistake. I've taken out this evening's psalm list. So we're going to be singing in Psalm 26 this evening. My apologies, Donald. Psalm 118. Is where we are this morning, 118. And we sing the opening verses 1 to 9. Let us read first of all in the book of Psalms and in Psalm number 2, the second psalm. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all that put their trust in him. And now we shall pray together. Eternal God, we are encouraged always by the scriptures, because they not only remind us of the great consolations in the gospel, but they remind us of the historical realities that undergird the gospel. And the very words of God speak to us concerning things that go beyond history and go beyond our understanding of things. Even as we read the scriptures, we are conscious, O Lord, that we are dealing only with the things that make us wise unto salvation. And there are many other aspects of God's doings and dealings and character of which we know nothing because they have not been revealed to us. And so we pray that we would value what is written and take it seriously because God takes it seriously. And our Lord Jesus Christ takes life very seriously and death and sin and salvation. And he takes eternity seriously, coming from that eternity for a brief time in the days of his flesh, made a little lower than the angels for a little time only, and entering into eternity again as the incarnate God-man, one person, two natures forever. And all of this is beyond our comprehension and beyond our doing. And so this morning, as we are exposed again to these words recorded in the scriptures, we pray that we would listen well and take to heart all that we sing and all that we read and all that we hear. And we give thanks to God for the psalm that we have read. It poses the great question of why. Why do we rage against the Lord? What harm has God ever done to us? What damage to our life has the gospel ever introduced? What devious, dangerous teaching is it that Christ ever gave? And in the scriptures we find light and love. God is love. God is light. And we hate the light because we love the darkness. We love our sins, O God, we confess. And we hate our sins at the same time. And we cling to them and we would long to put them away. And they attract us and they repel us. And we confess, O God, that even as believers in Jesus Christ this morning, we are conscious of living with a tension between the upward call of God in Christ Jesus and the downward drag constantly of the flesh towards the world. And try as we will, we cannot not stop sinning. And we confess that we are undone by nature, and our only hope is in that word and work of Jesus Christ. So we pray that we would rejoice and be glad, not in our sin, but in our salvation and in our Savior, and that our gathering here would be for the uplifting of our most holy faith and our convictions and our consecrations to Christ would be ever deepened and ever heightened and ever broadened, and that the faith of the gospel would increasingly dominate our life, our internal secret life, as well as our public expressions of our life. So this morning, Heavenly Father, we give thanks that we're allowed to gather here again today, that we have liberty to do so. We recognize that throughout the world there are many of God's people who do not have the ability, the liberty, and sometimes, tragically, not even the desire to gather as we do. But we do rejoice in the Lord. And we pray the blessing of God upon our gathering, that this would not be for our cursing, but for our blessing, and that we would go from this place, and that we would say it is good for us to be here. We give thanks for the Lord's Day, the Resurrection Day, the historical day when a new day began to dawn on Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, when Christ rose from the dead, and a new day dawning for the world, the Gospel Day, the last days beginning then and continuing until now. So we pray for the church throughout the world to be conscious of its privileges, its dignity, and its destiny. And we pray for the preachers of the gospel to be convicted that what they do is truth and that they tell no lie, and that they would be not simply convicted but compassionate in the delivery of the message, speaking the truth in love, knowing that everything that Christ said was because of the great compassion that he had for his hearers, whether saved or lost. And so we pray for preachers today. We pray for hearers today. We pray for those who should be hearers and are not. And we pray for those who thus far have never been hearers, but shall be before they breathe their last. We pray for the world. We pray for the warmongers and the peacemakers. We pray for those who are suffering so many afflictions. We pray for those whose lives are free, apparently, of afflictions. We are all continuing as one species of creatures made in God's image, made for God. And this life is the ultimate testing. It is that preparatory probationary period. And death will come, and after death the judgment. So help us to take seriously the days that we live, not to squander them and not to see them fritter away in foolishness and in wickedness, but rather seeking the Lord in our youth and in our manhood and womanhood and middle age and old age, always ever looking unto Jesus. May this be our life. This is our prayer, that our life would be thus, O God. And may this gathering here this morning be conducive to that great end, to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And so we pray that we would look again to the cross this morning and learn more of its wonderful realities. And we ask for mercy and grace and all for God's glory through Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, in Luke chapter 4, and the opening verses in Luke chapter 4. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterwards was hungry. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bore him witness, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, Is not this Joseph's son? And he said unto them, You will surely say unto me this proverb, A physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elisha, when the heaven was shut up, 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, and to a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel at the time of Elisha, the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, save Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him into the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way, and came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And so on. Amen. Well, the notices are very brief. This morning, the evening service, of course, at 6 o'clock, yeah. And then the Wednesday meeting, as usual, at 7 o'clock. We have a synod, of course, as you probably know, coming up this week from Tuesday to, I think it's Thursday. And Alan Steele has agreed to take the meeting for me on Wednesday, for which I'm very thankful. Next Lord's Day, 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. And we welcome you, of course, to the service, and the offering will now be received. Psalm number 118 at verse 15 to 23. We sing these verses from verse 15.